While you're standing, we'll pray, and then you can be seated. I'm aware of the time. We're a little bit later than we normally are, but I'll try to make up for that. If you've ever been on a plane and they'll say, we're delayed, we'll try to make up for it in the air. I get nervous when they say that. Just get me there safe. So I will try to be quick, but I want to get you there safe. And know that you have heard from the Lord, but then also that every person here, because I believe the Lord knows everybody that's here right now, that you would feel a sense of God reaching for you and even speaking to you. And there'll be a way for you to respond. Matthew 9 and verse 38, Jesus Christ is speaking and he says, pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest that he will send forth laborers into his harvest. And we'll get the context here momentarily, but it ought to be pretty important if Jesus said, pray this way. And he said specifically, pray the Lord of the harvest, which is Jesus Christ. In other words, ask me, pray to me that I would send forth laborers into the harvest. Whatever God wants to do, in this case, it seems, he wants to do it with you. And so certainly he can do whatever he wants, but he said, I want to be in connection with you. I want us to be on the same page about this, that you're asking me to send laborers. And really, if you think about it, you're asking me to send you into the harvest. So I'd like to preach from this thought, full house, but empty fields. Full house. But empty fields. Let's ask the Lord to speak to us right now. Lord Jesus, I know you have a word for Heaven View, and I know you have a word for every guest. You're going to minister in such a way that a guest will know you're speaking to them right now. And God, I pray that each of us would hear your voice and respond, not just being hearers of the word, but doers of the word. So now we pray for an anointing, and we feel your anointing here so powerfully. But specifically, Lord, let that anointing motivate us to leave here convinced that we can make a difference in our world and that, Jesus, you can make a difference in us. In the name of Jesus Christ. Now, would you just in your own way thank him just for a moment. Thank you, Jesus, for hearing my prayer. Thank you, Jesus, for answering my prayer. Praise the name of the Lord. God bless you. You may be seated. And thank you again for being here today. If you will remember last week, and I know it's dangerous to assume that people would remember what was preached last week. One pastor got so upset when he found out that one of his main saints didn't remember what he preached last week. He got in the car all huffy. He's starting complaining to his wife. I can't believe I worked so hard on that message. I put so much time into it. And even my main saints, the ones that are the most faithful, I talked to one of them today. He didn't have a clue what I preached last week. The wife heard all this complaining. Finally, she said, well, what did you preach last week? And he thought for a minute, and even the preacher couldn't remember what he preached last week. And that's just the way it is with human nature. But I do remember because I looked it up. We honored first responders last week on the occasion of 9/11 as we remembered those that are the first to react to the need of other people. And in Scripture, we lifted up the posture of the Good Samaritan. And so many of you that even if you were not here last week, I mentioned that, and already you can connect with what he did to represent a first responder, if you will, and truly invest his time and his money to meet the need of others. We came out of last week with the sense that God was telling us that we need more first responders, that we should honor those that are first responders, but that we should seek it, especially in a spiritual sense, but in every sense, to respond to the needs of others. In fact, if I could say it this way, and you'll understand momentarily I believe there is a call from God, from His Word, and from His Spirit that His church would be moved with compassion in these last days. That we would acknowledge that Jesus is coming soon. That things are not going to continue just the way they are right now, forever and ever. But God has a work for us to do to rescue people in these last days. Now look at the context of Matthew 9, what we read before. I want you to get the whole passage down. Picking up at verse 35, and Jesus went about all the cities and villages, teaching in their synagogues and preaching the gospel of the kingdom and healing every sickness and every disease among the people. But when he saw the multitudes, he was moved with compassion on them because they fainted and were scattered abroad as sheep having no shepherd. Then saith he unto his disciples, the harvest truly is plenteous, but the laborers are few. Pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest that he would send forth laborers into his harvest. You really don't need a degree in theology to get the sense of where Jesus is going with this whole harvest field discussion. He's in the business of healing people and helping people. But as he heals and as he helps, he gets a glimpse at the great crowd of people that still need miracles and still need his help. And so that crowd would represent the harvest field. And it's in that context, as he's moved with his compassion, that he looks at his own followers and he says to them, I need you to pray to me. I need you to seek and talk to me. And this should be your prayer request, God, because there's so many sick and there's so many lost and there's so many hurting and there's so many helpless. We're praying that you would send forth laborers into the harvest. In other words, this is beautiful, Jesus, that you're healing and you're helping, but we need an army of people healing, and we need an army of people helping. And so Jesus says, would you pray? And when you pray, would you say, oh Lord, we pray that you would send forth laborers. Now, because we are a people so invested in the work of God and in Winston-Salem, but then it stretches around the world, you and I know what it's like to personally pray for missionaries and pray for pastors and leaders and ministry personnel, even other churches, if you will. We don't try to assume that the kingdom of God is us four and no more. The kingdom of God is so bigger than us. And so we're praying regularly, Lord, send forth laborers, perhaps to France. Send forth laborers, perhaps to Australia. Send forth laborers, even to China. Send forth laborers, even to Nicaragua. Wherever the case may be, Lord, places where I could never go, I'm asking you to send somebody to reach the hurting, to bring the healing, to bring the gospel, to save the lost. We're praying, send forth laborers. But what I love about this context is that there is another opportunity in the words of Jesus for every believer. And I know this house is filled with believers today. Maybe not all of you call Heaven View your church, but you know you're a believer. This is what I want you to tag into. There's an opportunity for us to pray, Lord, Lord of the harvest, send forth laborers into the harvest. But specifically, Lord, send me to help somebody that's hurting. Send me to bring the gospel to somebody. Send me to bring healing to somebody. Anybody just real quick could raise a hand and say, you know, Pastor, I've prayed that way, or I would be willing to pray that way. And if your hand is raised, or perhaps you can pray right where you are, Lord Jesus, I am going to pray the prayer request right now that you commissioned us to pray. Lord of the harvest, Jesus Christ, move with compassion about my generation. Would you send me into the harvest? To help, to heal, to bless. Because I perceive that this congregation is filled today with people that celebrate the reality that we are on our way to heaven because of Calvary. Amen? I believe that whether you consider this church, or you're a believer from another congregation, there are many that could identify with the words from the book of Ephesians. But God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in sins, he's quickened us together with Christ. For by grace ye are saved. And he hath raised us up together and made us to sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. And then he goes on to say in verse 8, for by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. Can I get an amen in the house in just a moment when I say we did not save ourselves? Amen. There's nothing I could do to save myself, but I celebrate today the grace of Jesus Christ, that God was manifest in the flesh, and he came to this earth as a man, and he hung on the cross for the purpose of saving me and saving you. For by grace we are saved, because Jesus had compassion on us. He loved us too much to leave us in our lost condition. So we are in the house today, if you will, because he first loved us. We are on our way to heaven, if you will, because his grace is enough to save us. But he saved us not just to leave us in the house. He saved us to send us into the fields that are ready for harvest. He saved us so that as he is moved with compassion, he could be moved through me and through you, and we could help bring healing, and we could help bring blessing, and we could help bring salvation. In fact, Ephesians 2 not only celebrates the grace of God, but it also says we are his workmanship, and we are created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. I'll give you just a simple example. In the foyer, we got these church cards. And occasionally, perhaps even routinely, someone might run into somebody at the store and say, hey, I'd like for you to come visit my church. Can I tell you something that's going to sound a little bit far-fetched and maybe even self-serving, but I really don't care? I believe he ordained that once we got in the house, we wouldn't keep it all to ourselves. I don't think I'm making it up. I think I got Bible for that, that once we enjoyed the presence of the Lord and once we had been made to sit together in heavenly places, did you ever leave a service and say, oh my goodness, I got just what I needed today. Oh my goodness, I got a word from God today. Oh wow, when they were singing and worshiping, the Spirit of God touched me and I was healed, I was helped. So many of us could testify of that, and we celebrate that, but let us agree together that he did not save us just to bless us, but he saved us to send us into the harvest. Because somebody else is hurting, and somebody else is lost, and somebody else is lonely, and somebody else needs Jesus. Did Jesus not say we are the salt of the earth? Did he not say we are the light of the world? Matthew 5 and 16, let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. Can I say we are not saved just to celebrate from Sunday to Sunday that we're saved. And pretty soon the rapture will take place and we got all them Sundays lined up and we're gone. We can celebrate forever. I believe it's going to happen very soon. But that's not the only reason why he saved us. Because he said, pray the Lord of the harvest that he would send forth laborers into his harvest. He saved us that we might pray, okay, God, you have saved me. Now send me. You have healed me. Now send me. You have helped me. Now send me. I'm not talking about just something that radical Christians pray. I'm not talking about something that just preachers pray. I'm talking about the person in this building that although you're a Christian, you feel about as distracted as anybody else. With life and business and work and family. You're doing your best to love the Lord and you know he's your Savior, but you know you got so much choking you that it's hard to think that he would have a work for you to do. Well, I'm here today warning you and maybe sounding an alarm, not to hurt your feelings, not even to tick you off, but just to let you know there's an opportunity for you to recognize, Lord, you saved me. Now send me. I'm praying that you would anoint me and help me to be somebody you can use. And without going too far into this, because I think it would bother some, I don't know if we have a choice in the matter. I don't know if it's just when I've got time in my schedule or if I happen to be extremely zealous. I think if you're saved, the Spirit of God inside of you is wanting to move through you to reach someone that's lost. If you're healed, the Spirit of God inside of you is moving through you, wanting to bring healing to someone that's sick. Now again, would you raise your hands or raise your voice and say, Jesus, Lord of the harvest, I'm praying that you would send me into the harvest. Lord Jesus, Lord of the harvest, I am praying that you would send laborers into the harvest. And I'm not talking about just other people, Lord. I'm talking about me, Lord, as pastor of Heaven View. I'm not just talking about my great brothers and sisters that I serve. I'm talking about me as pastor. I'm thankful for the privilege to preach behind this pulpit. But God, I beg you, send me into this community somewhere where I can find someone and be moved with compassion. Passion and reach them and rescue them and help them because you helped me, you rescued me, you saved me, and so I want to be a vessel you can use to reach someone else. Can you say amen? I won't stay long here, but that's why She's for Christ matters to Heaven View, because the harvest matters to Jesus. And so we pray the Lord of the harvest that with each gift we bring, that he would send forth laborers into the harvest. That's why giving to missions matters to Heaven View, because the harvest matters to Jesus. And so we pray each time we bring an offering for missions or we try to help the nations of the world, we're praying, Lord of the harvest, send forth laborers into the harvest. That's why Carolina Crusades matters to Heaven View. And if you're new to Heaven View, when we talk about Carolina Crusades, we talk about the fact that this church has a mission, not just to serve and grow this church in Winston-Salem, but we're to reach other cities and other counties in North Carolina that need a church that's on fire, a church that's powerful, a church that's apostolic, if you will. And so we pray the Lord of the harvest that he would send forth laborers into the harvest. We thank God for revival in King. We thank God for revival in Taylorsville. Why? Because as long as it matters to Jesus, Jesus, it will matter to heaven view. And as long as Jesus is moved with compassion, there's going to be brothers and sisters and leaders here at heaven view that are going to be moved with compassion and say, I know King is the next town over, and we can leave that to somebody else. But oh no, if it matters to Jesus, it matters to me. I know Taylorsville is 65 miles away. Surely somebody else can go and have church there. But no, if it matters to Jesus, it matters to me. I know West Jefferson is an hour and a half away from here. But if it matters to Jesus, it matters to me. Because the Lord of the harvest has called us to pray. Send forth laborers. Send forth laborers into the harvest. Can you say in Jesus' name? Now to our guests, just hang with me because I'd like to minister to you momentarily. But it's important for our church occasionally to revisit and refocus so that we're all on the same page. We're all moving in the same direction. Next Sunday, we begin another effort. We do this quite a bit around here. I'm amazed we still have such a big crowd. But we start another 21 days of prayer and fasting. It might surprise you, people don't quit the church when we do that. Because we recognize if it matters to Jesus, it matters to us. So we're going to pray the Lord of the harvest that he would send forth laborers into the harvest. Now I'm sure you've seen the calendar and you see the suggestion is for the Daniel's fast. It's a unique fast because you can still eat quite a lot of things, refrain from meat and pleasant breads, sweet things. One time we called this no meats, no sweets, no tweets as a way to say, you know what, you can still eat, but you can still go on with life, but kind of step back from all the stuff that you want to eat. Step back from all the time you want to spend on social media. Give that time to the Lord. I want you to know when you look at the calendar, it's just a suggestion. What I'm asking you to do is to talk to God and take 21 days beginning next Sunday and say, Lord, I want to do something that separates me from my regular routine. I want to go without the things that please this flesh so that I can get alone with you. You may choose a different fast than I'm going to choose. The point is that we recall, that we remember, it's not just part of our heaven view religious routine or our heaven view religious tradition, but we recognize as long as it matters to God, it's going to matter to us. And so we're going to pray the Lord of the harvest that he would send forth laborers. That's what we're doing. And I got to tell you a little secret here. Sometimes I get on that Daniel's fast, I actually gain weight. I must be doing it wrong. Other times, I do the fast the old-fashioned people do. Man, the weight falls off like crazy. But we're not doing this to lose or gain weight. We're doing this because we want to pray that the Lord of the harvest would speak to us and send us into the harvest field. How many of you know there's times that you've invited dozens of people to church and there didn't seem to be a connection, but there were other times when the Spirit of God led you to an individual and it wasn't even about inviting them to church. It was about encouraging them or investing in their life in a way that made them feel like they were not alone. You were directed by the Spirit of God. That's what I'm saying is let's push away from the table because his house is filled and we celebrate that. But out there in the field, there's a lot of lonely people and there's a lot of hurting people. I'm not just saying just give cards everywhere you go. That's great, but there's something more. There's an opportunity to pray and fast and say, now God, when I go to work this morning, lead me to somebody and give me the words to say, Lord of the harvest, lead me as a laborer into the harvest. Because as much as we should feel the responsibility, we should also feel the opportunity that the gifts of the Spirit are ready to operate through someone that can push away enough of the world to say, Jesus, Lord of the harvest, I'm praying that you would send me Lord, I'm going to give out cards, invite people to church. I don't need to see writing on the walls. I don't need to see an angel. I don't need to hear thunder or see lightning. I'm going to do all the things that would help me be a witness for you. But more than just going through the mechanics of inviting people to church, I want the Spirit of God to heal through me. I want the Spirit of God to help through me. I want the Spirit of God to bless through me. I met a man a few weeks ago. It was an open door. We began to talk. Something clicked. I met him again, had breakfast with him. We began to spend a lot of time, and he made a statement. I don't know his family. I've only known the guy for 2 weeks, but when he made the statement, God gave me a word for him. I began to speak about his kids. I've never met his kids. His eyes begin to tear up as God began to speak to him and minister to him. That's what I'm talking about. I'm talking about Lord of the harvest. I'm going to go to work today. I'm going to go to school today, and I want you to send me. I'm saying somebody here that feels like, man, I'm just another believer. Nobody knows who I am. I'd never be on that platform. I'd never preach a message, but I am saying you're a child of God, and God is moved with compassion through you as you go and see people that I would never see, as you talk to people that I will never meet. And I am saying, pray and fast in some way, separate from the world long enough to say, Jesus, make me sensitive to your voice. Lord of the harvest, lead me as a laborer somewhere in the mall, somewhere at school, somewhere on the job, somewhere in the neighborhood. Give me the opportunity. Give me the words to speak. Help me to connect with a need. Would you raise your hands and say, Jesus, I'm open to that. In your own words, would you say, Jesus, I'm open for that. Jesus, I'm open for that. Jesus, I'm open for that. Can you say, in Jesus' name? 21 days from next Sunday, we will start a church in one day. We will start a church in West Jefferson, North Carolina. In one day, we will start a new church. You know how I know we can do that? Because we did it in King. We did it in Taylorsville. And more than that, the Lord of the harvest is moved with compassion. He comes and blesses us on a Sunday, and we have such a great time. We're high-fiving each other on the way to heaven, man. Church was great. The choir was awesome. Preacher was a little bit long, but we're getting used to that. But while we're all celebrating the fact that we're in the house, we got a full house. The fields are empty. I don't want to throw some sort of cloud on any other ministry, but I'll tell you right now, the temptation for this pastor would be to enjoy a full house. The temptation for this pastor would say, man, we got it going on. Anybody can come here on any Sunday and say, wow, that's a good church. That pastor must know what he's doing. I don't have a clue what I'm doing. I'm just surrounded by great people that God has led here, and together we are doing his will, and we're having a blast, and we'd love for you to join us because, man, it is fun doing the work of God together at Heaven View. But I will tell you this, as I look at this full house, I realize this full house is awesome, but there are still some fields that are empty. There is no apostolic church in West Jefferson. There is no place in West Jefferson where you can go and hear the message of repentance and baptism in the name of Jesus and the infilling of the Holy Ghost, speaking with other tongues. I know there's some good people and probably some great churches, but we have that old-fashioned message where we still preach, if you're sick, come to the church and call on the name of Jesus and you will be healed. We still preach that if you're addicted to drugs, come to the church. It don't matter what you've been through. Let the power of God hit you and you will be delivered. Come on. They need that in West Jefferson. They need that in Taylorsville. They need that in King. They need that in Winston-Salem. They need that on your job. They need that in your school. I'm telling you, I thank God that the house is full, but I still grieve because the fields are empty. And so 21 days from next Sunday, we would all been praying and fasting for those 21 days, and the power of God is going to fall in West Jefferson because he's still moved with compassion. It's not going to fall because my last name's Linder or this church's name, Heaven View, had nothing to do with that. Jesus is moved with compassion, and he's looking for laborers. And so if we will pray, God, send us, he will use us. And if you will pray, God, send me, your workplace will be a harvest field. Your home will be a harvest field. Your school will be a harvest field. And perhaps you should reflect that the reason why you're saved and have that good job is so that you can be a laborer. The reason why you're saved and you get to go to that school is so that you can be a laborer. And you may say, Pastor, you got to see me in the morning when I get, well, maybe you shouldn't see me. But it takes me till about Wednesday before I even realize I'm at school. Been going Monday, Tuesday, and been in a fog. It's okay to be normal. I know some people hate going back to work after the weekend. It's okay, that's part of life. But I'm just saying, pray, Lord of the harvest. You know that little struggle I've been having with my boss? When I go to work this week, don't let it just be about how the boss annoys me, but could your spirit lead me into the harvest field of my job? And can you help me to connect with someone on the job that needs you? And they may not even be ready to come to my church, but if they're sick, let me pray for them and let them be healed. If they're lonely, let me encourage them so they know that there's hope. Come on, would you raise your hand again? I know I've done this a lot, but I'm trying to let you know this is not just about a message. This is about a movement. This is about you and I saying, wait a minute, it's not going to be business as usual. It's not even going to be a stack of church cards that I hand out throughout the week. It's going to be Holy Ghost work through me. It's going to be Spirit of the Living God flow through me so that when I reach out to somebody, I'm being led by the Spirit. The Lord of the harvest is sending me to that conversation. The Lord of the harvest is sending me to that situation. The Lord of the harvest is sending me to that individual. I wonder if somebody that's full of the Holy Ghost, right where you're sitting, if you would begin to pray in the Spirit as if to say, I receive the anointing that goes with the compassion that Jesus has flowing through me, that when I go to work this week, it's going to be entirely different than just another dead week at work. I'm going to be led of the Holy Ghost. I'm going to be led by the Lord of the harvest. Come on, is there somebody that can pray in just a few moments when we come to the altar? It's not just going to be another close of a service at Heaven View, but the Spirit of God is going to lead me to somebody that's sick and they're going to be healed today. The Spirit of God is going to lead me to someone that's hurting and they're going to be helped today. Lord of the harvest, we're praying, send us. Send us as laborers. Can you say in Jesus' name? So 21 days from now on a Saturday, we start a new church in West Jefferson. 22 days from now. The math seems kind of weird to me, Pastor Dan. You're going to have to help me with this. I guess if you count Sunday as a day, 3 Sundays from now would be 22 days from now, even though it feels like 21 days from now. Don't be distracted by that. But on a Saturday, we're going to start a church in West Jefferson. But on Sunday, we're going to start a new season at Heaven View. And it's going to be a season of harvest, where from that Sunday on, Brother Chris Green is going to lead us as we pray for people that need the Holy Ghost and people that need miracles. And then service after service from that point on, we're just going to be sensitive to needs of people. You bring them from wherever you can bring them, from your job, from your neighborhood, from your community. You'll get a taste of that today, but I'm saying it's a new season of harvest, and the Lord of the harvest is going to hear our prayers, and he's going to see our fasting, and he's going to note our sensitivity. And as we enter into that season of harvest, it's not just going to be given church cards to random strangers and nothing happens. It's going to be, Lord of the harvest, lead me into the harvest. And I may give a card to a stranger, but God, it's going to be the stranger that you lead me to. And when I give them the card, they're going to say, man, you won't believe this, but I just told my wife this week, we need a church home. We need a place where we can receive what God has for us. I'm telling you, that is the will of God. That is the plan of God, that the Lord of the harvest would send a message to Heaven View. It's harvest time. Not just so we can have a bigger crowd. My goodness, if we get a much bigger crowd, it's going to be uncomfortable in here. Maybe it's not about the size of the crowd. Maybe it's about Jesus. If there's somebody hurting on my job, if there's somebody hurting in my school, if there's somebody lonely, Lord, in my neighborhood, Lord of the harvest, send me. Send me. We are praying. We are praying. But we are willing to be laborers. Let's thank the Lord for the way His Spirit is moving mightily right now. I'm telling you, that same Spirit that moves on people to be used in the gifts of the Spirit will move on you to receive your miracle in just a few moments as we pray at the end of this service. Because Jesus is moved with compassion. Jesus is moved with compassion when He sees a multitude like this. And problems and pains and situations that nobody knows about but you and perhaps your closest friend or family member. And He wants you to know that He has given you this opportunity, that when we pray for each other in the next few moments, He will meet you in your faith. He will meet you in your prayer. He will touch you. He will rescue you in a supernatural way. Can you say in Jesus' name? As the musicians come, I want this congregation to consider just one thing that is so vital in a crowd this size, and that is this. We reach hurting people one soul at a time. We reach lost people one by one. One writer said this. He said, events are never enough. If you had an event where 100 souls a day for 30 years were converted, a total of 11 million people would be reached. But he said, if you instead reach one soul a year and taught that soul to reach one soul a year, and then each one each year just reach one. After this process continued for 30 years, you would reach 9 billion souls, one by one by one. And so somebody in this building needs to overcome the deception that your influence doesn't matter, that your prayer and fasting doesn't matter, that your conversation with a coworker doesn't matter, that your invitation to a school friend doesn't matter. That is absolutely not true. One by one, if I will pray, Lord of the harvest, lead me to somebody. Lord of the harvest, help me to reach somebody. Lord of the harvest, I'm available. Send me into the harvest field. One by one. Can you stand with me today? Lord Jesus, in this atmosphere that is so holy, in this atmosphere that is so charged with your Spirit flowing so mightily, I pray right now that you would speak to each of us and remind us that our influence matters, that our sensitivity matters, that our prayerfulness matters, that our labor for the harvest matters. Lord Jesus, we are thankful for a house that is full. But if I don't go into the harvest field, there is someone somewhere whose soul will remain empty because I didn't do what I could do to be led by your Spirit. And so today, Lord, I recommit myself. I'm going to yield to 21 days of prayer and fasting some way, somehow. I may do it differently than somebody else, but I'm going to separate myself for 21 days from enough stuff and enough of the world and even enough food so that I can hear you talking to me and leading me to someone that needs you, someone that's hurting, someone that's helpless. If that's you right where you're standing, would you raise your hands and make a commitment to the Lord right now? Lord Jesus, send me into the harvest field. Lord Jesus, you may never be coming back to this church, but if you're a believer, I want you to pray that prayer right now. Lord Jesus, send me into the harvest field. Let me be a laborer in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Let me be a vessel that you can use for your glory. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Praise God. Don't say 4 months and then cometh harvest. It's now. It's harvest time now. It's miracle time now. It's victory time now. It's revival time now. Praise God. Now, if I could have your attention, I believe there's a host of laborers that have signed up for what God is going to do in the season of revival and harvest. But we've got needs today. And if you are in this building, whether you're a part of this church family or you're just a guest passing by, if you have a prayer request, and you don't have to give us all the details, you don't have to give us all the information, but if you know you need a miracle, in just a moment when we come forward, you are invited to come. And when you come forward, someone will pray with you. Just an intercessor, someone that's got faith that God can do miracles for you. What I'd like for you to do when you come, if you need a miracle, in your own way, just begin to thank the Lord for the miracle. Thank the Lord for the miracle. Thank the Lord for hearing and answering prayer. If you've never repented of your sins, join us at the altar. If you've never been baptized in Jesus' name, come to the altar and let one of our elders up here know we'll baptize you today. If you've never experienced the Holy Ghost, where you're filled with the Spirit and literally speaking in a language that comes from heaven, you don't have to be a member of this church to receive that experience today. Just come to the altar. Come on, everybody come. Everybody come. Come ready for a miracle. Come ready for a blessing. Come ready to be used of God. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Come on, if you need a touch of God, would you join these that are coming now? And would you lift your voice to the Lord and just thank Him for touching you? Thank Him for helping you. And somebody will join you in prayer. Somebody will join you in prayer. Come on, intercessors, would you help us? Come on, intercessors, would you help us? There's an opportunity right now for a miracle to happen. If we would link our faith together, God will do the rest today.